Now, my desire today is to magnify and exalt our Lord Jesus Christ. David wrote in the Psalms, "O magnify the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord with thee. Let us exalt His name together." And I tell you, if we can, by His grace, exalt His name and magnify the Lord, we'll be in tune with the heavens, because the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. We'll be in tune with the things that are made, because they magnify His name, they exalt His name. We'll be in tune with the angels whom He sent to earth at the birth of Christ said, "Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest." The seraphims, I preached last week from Isaiah 6, they circle the throne and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." If we can magnify His name, we'll be in tune with the prophets. Abraham rejoiced to see his day. To him give all the prophets witness. And we'll be in tune with the future and prepared for heaven's song, because God's given him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess He's Lord. I'd say to every preacher, if I could have for a moment the ear of every preacher or every teacher or every person that speaks for God, I would say, preach Christ. Magnify and exalt the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said, in season or out of season, preach Christ. When you're up or when you're down, preach Christ. When you're young or when you're old, preach Christ. When you preach your first sermon, and when you preach your last sermon, preach Christ. When your crowd is small, or when your crowd is large. When men love you, or when men hate you. When you preach to the wise, or when you preach to the unwise, preach Christ. When you're happy, or when you're sad, preach Christ. When you're sick, or when you're well. When you're prepared or when you're unprepared, preach Christ. When you wish to comfort God's people or correct them. When you preach to believers or unbelievers. When you see results or when you don't, preach Christ. The message is always the same. Paul summed it up. We preach not ourselves. We preach Christ. Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Christ's sake. This man Isaiah, turn to Isaiah 50. This man Isaiah exalted the Lord. I preached about it last week. John said when he saw the Lord, when he saw the Lord. Isaiah said when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. When he saw the Lord, he spake of Him. From then on, Christ was His message. If we've seen the Lord, Christ will be our message. Because we can't find a better message. Isaiah is called by some the gospel of the Old Testament. Go back just a few pages. Isaiah 45. Hear him here. Isaiah 45. He says, verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image. Pray to a God that can't save. Those people have no knowledge. Religious, but ignorant. They pray to a God that can't save, that can't do what He will do. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient times? Who declares the end from the beginning? Who declares what's happening now from ancient times? The end from the beginning. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there's no God beside me. I'm a just God and I'm a Savior. There's no God beside me. There's none beside. So look to me. Look to me and be ye saved. For I'm God. All the ends of the earth. I'm God. There's none else. Ah, me. And here in the last verse of chapter 49, the last phrase in chapter 49, verse 26, all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer. I'm the mighty one of Jacob. Well, let's see what the Lord says about himself and about us in verse 1. Now look at this. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement whom I put away? When a man divorced a wife, our Lord said, for the hardness of your heart, Moses said, give her a bill of divorcement. Where is that? Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. When a man put away his wife, he gives her a legal paper, a bill of divorcement, declaring that he hath forsaken her. Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. Now here in our text, chapter 50, verse 1, the Lord says, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement whom I put away? If you have such a paper, show it. I didn't put you away. I didn't send you away. I didn't forsake you. You have no bill of divorcement. You have no paper that says, I left you. He said, you left me. I didn't leave you. When this man puts away his wife, he gives her an official paper, and she can show it to everybody. He left me. He forsake me. He put me out. He said, you don't have that kind of paper. And then he says this, or which of my creditors is it to whom I sold you? When a man, back here in these days of the Scriptures, when a man became so heavily in debt and could not pay, he would sell his children into slavery to satisfy the debt. He owed an awesome debt and couldn't pay it. Then the creditor would take his children, and they would serve as slaves, a service to that man. And the Lord says, I have no creditors. I don't owe anybody anything. That's what he's saying here. Of which of my creditors is it to whom I sold you? I have no creditors. I owe no man. But here's the truth. Watch it now. Behold, for your iniquities you sold yourselves. You're responsible for your condition. We're responsible for our condition. Don't blame me, God said. Don't blame anybody but yourself. For your sins you sold yourself to Satan and slavery. For your own transgressions, he says, has your mother been put away? I didn't forsake you. The ruin lies at your door. Look at Isaiah 59. Let that be settled once for all. This is what the Redeemer is saying to begin this whole message. He says, yes, you're forsaken, but I didn't forsake you. You left me. Isn't that right? Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. His ear is not heavy. He can't hear. Our Lord can save. He can hear. He can do what he will. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not hear. We're out of hearing distance, but we left. He didn't leave us, we left Him. Oh, my. And He says in verse 2, further condemnation, wherefore, when I came, when did He come? He came into the world. John 1 says He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. When I came, there was no man. He came into His own received Him not. Lo, I come, He said, in the volume of the book is written of me, I come to do Thy will, O God. And I came, and nobody knew me. Nobody believed me. And when I called, come and I'll give you rest. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen that gathered her brood, but you would not. I called, and no man answered. No man answered. But is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Turn to Romans 3 and listen to Paul here. It's a fact He was in the world and the world knew Him not. It's a fact He came to Abraham's children. They received Him not. He came into His own temple. They didn't know Him. Romans 3, verse 3 says, well, for what if some didn't believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Is God's purpose, does it fail now, the fact that the world knew Him not? I came and nobody knew me. I called and nobody heard me. Then that means that the faithfulness of God is without effect. Oh, no, 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 no. He said, is my hand shortened at all that it can't redeem? Have I no power to deliver? Is anything too hard for God? Let's see. Behold, at my rebuke I dried up the sea. Israel came, the great host of God's people that fled from Egypt. And they came and they stood there before the Red Sea, deep and wide. Awesome. Behind them thundered Pharaoh's chariots and armies, bent on destruction. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You can't move the sea, but He can. I dried up the sea. And Moses struck his rod upon the sea, and Israel crossed on dry land. I dried up the sea. Is my hand shortened that it can't redeem? Is my ear heavy that I can't hear? Have I no power to deliver? Go to the Red Sea and see the power of God. And look at the second illustration. He said, I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh. When was this? Turn to Exodus 7. Exodus chapter 7. Turn over there. I want you to read this. You're familiar with that drying up the sea. But He makes the rivers of no effect. And the fish die and they stink. And no man has any water to drink. Exodus 7, verse 20. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. Moses lifted up his rod and smote the river, the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that were in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Does that sound like a God who can't redeem? Who can't deliver? I came, and they didn't know me. They said, crucify Him. We'll not have this man reign over us. I called, and they didn't hear. Is my hand short? Does that do away with my purpose? I dried up the sea. I turned the rivers into a wilderness, and there was no water. And they died of thirst. I clothed the heavens with blackness. God had that kind of power. Turn to Exodus 10. Let's see. Exodus chapter 10. I clothed the heavens with blackness. We don't know what darkness is. I'm going to read you about darkness here. And the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 10:21. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness that may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place. Nobody got up from where he was sitting. He didn't dare for 3 days. But the children of Israel, God's chosen people, sons of Jacob, they had light. They don't walk in darkness. They never do. Every dwelling had light, the light of God. I made it dark everywhere I wanted to make it dark, he said. And I made light everywhere I wanted to make light. I don't apologize for that. That's the God of heaven and earth. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I dried up the sea. I turned the river to blood. I sent darkness that could be felt over all the land. The next line, he said, I made sackcloth their covering. What? Their heaven. I covered the heaven in sackcloth. When was this? Revelation 6. Will be. Revelation 6. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't have wanted to be in Egypt in that darkness, and I don't want to be in the book of Revelation in this darkness either. Listen to Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth as a fig tree casteth her untimely leaves when she's shaken of a mighty wind. I came and nobody knew me. I called and nobody heard me. But is my hand short that I can't redeem? Have I no power to save? Judge ye. Judge ye. Verse 4. Now here the Lord Jesus Christ, in the next verses, he magnifies his name and his office. I want you to see this. He magnifies his office. You know, he'll save whom he will. He'll quicken whom he will. As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He'll quicken whom he will. And here he magnifies his office. First, the prophet. Write that out there in your margin, verse 4. The prophet. Here's the prophet. The Lord God, the Father, hath given me the tongue of the learned. He's that prophet. Moses talked about that prophet over here in Deuteronomy. You want to turn over there and look at it in Deuteronomy chapter 18. He hath given me the tongue of the learned. That's not me now. That's Christ. I always do those things that please my Father. The words that I speak are not my words. They're the words of him who sent me. Only he could say that. Always. He gave me the tongue of the learned. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. Verse 17, the Lord said unto me, thou hast well spoken that which they have spoken. They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto me, and I'll put my words in his mouth. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. I'll put my words in his mouth. He'll speak unto them that which I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken to my words which he shall speak, I require it of him. God spake to our fathers by the prophets, He hath in these days spoken to us by His Son. The Lord Jesus here is saying, I'm the prophet. Back to our text, Isaiah 54, the Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that's weary. Are you weary? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I've come to preach the gospel to the poor, he said, to the brokenhearted, to the captives. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. All right, verse 5. Put the word servant, obedient servant, in your margin by verse 5. The Lord is that prophet. The Lord is that obedient servant. That obedient servant. The Lord hath digged mine ear. I wasn't rebellious. I didn't turn away. Turn to Isaiah 42 a moment. The Lord Jesus is called our prophet, our priest, our king, our branch. Messenger of the covenant. Here in Isaiah 42:1, he's called my servant. My servant. This is not Christ, the Creator, as Creator. This is Christ as man, representative. He's a servant. Listen, Isaiah 42. I'm going to read it in a moment, but listen to me. To do the bidding and the will of the Father. A servant. I came not to be ministered unto, but to serve, he said. To minister. Give my life. Servant. All right, watch Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Who is this? This is Christ. The Father speaking of Christ. I put my spirit upon him without measure. He will bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. Smoking flax shall he not quench. He's the friend of sinners. He's the meek and lowly. He shall bring forth judgment to truth. And he shall not fail. And he shall not be discouraged, broken, till he has set judgment on this earth, and the isles shall wait for his law, every continent. That's Christ, servant. He did that without an army. He did that without any help or assistance. He did that without a weapon. He did that by obedience to the Father's will and submission to the Father's wrath. That's how he did. He by himself purged our sins. Servant. Well, what's this? Verse 5. The Lord hath digged mine ear. What in the world are you talking about? I was not rebellious. I was willing. I didn't turn away. He digged my ear. All right. Exodus 21. Exodus 21. There are servants and there are bondservants. There are slaves, and they're willing slaves. And this is a willing, loving bondservant. Verse 5, he's talking about after 7 years, a slave goes free in Israel. But, verse 5, Exodus 21, if a servant shall plainly say, I love my master, I love my wife and my children, I'll not go out free. I don't want freedom. His master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, under the doorpost. And his master shall dig his ear, bore his ear, through with an awl. And he'll serve him forever and put a ring in his ear. He's my servant. He's not my servant by constraint. He's my servant by choice. He's not my servant because he wants to be somewhere else. He's my servant because he said, I love my master. I love my wife and children. I choose to be here. And that's when there's some old slaves running around there doing what they're told to do because they can't do otherwise. But this is a different slave, servant. my servant. He said, the Lord, dig my ear. I wasn't rebellious. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down. All right, verse 6. Here's the Lord Jesus, the Lamb slain. The Lamb slain. Verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters. They scourged him. Turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. I gave my back to the smiters. Matthew 27, verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. They said, give us Barabbas, and crucify Jesus. And when he scourged him, a scourging, I tell you what a scourging was. They took a whip, and I'm told that they had pieces of glass and metal in the end of the strands of leather. And they would tie a man, take his clothes off, and scourge him, whip him with that whip, and just tear the skin off. They could not scourge him more than 40 times, 40 lashes. That was against the law to give a man more than 40 lashes. So they'd give him 40 save one. That's what Scripture talks, 40 save one. 39, be sure they didn't go over. That's mercy. Oh, my. But here it says they scourged him. They smote his back. Now, keep that Matthew 27 there. And he says, my cheeks to them that pluck out the hair. They pulled his beard out, slapped him in the face. And I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Now, Matthew 27 again, verse 29. And then when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. All right, Isaiah 50. Here's the prophet, the obedient servant, and the smitten, slain lamb. And verse 7 says, the Lord God will help me. There's no contradiction here now to his deity. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The Father will help me, that's what he said. My Father will help me. I shall not be ashamed, I shall not fail. My Father will help me. I'll not be confounded, I'll not be left alone. He'll help me. He prayed in Gethsemane for help. He prayed on the cross. Therefore I set my face like a flint. What's that taken from? Well, turn to Luke 9. Luke chapter 9. Listen to this. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke 9 and 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, that our Lord should go to Jerusalem, be crucified, and slain. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I set my face like a flint. That's what he's saying. And I know I shall not be ashamed. All right, let me move quickly in these next verses. He is near that justifieth me. The Father was near in this whole state of humiliation. The Father was always with him during all of this suffering and all of this humiliation, except one time when he cried, My God, when I stopped forsaking me, turned his back on him and bore our sin. But the Father's near that justifieth me. He justified him from all the false charges they brought against him. He justified him from all the sins that he bore, our sins, as our substitute. He justified him when he raised him from the dead. He justified him when he received him up into glory and set him down at his right hand. He is near that justifies me. So who's going to contend with me? Let him stand face to face with me. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near. Verse 9, Behold, the Lord God
You help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Now here's the closing verse. Our Redeemer addresses the sons of men, either in verse 10 or verse 11. Here's his conclusion. I can say, I'm the prophet. I'm his servant. I'm the lamb slain. The Father helps me. I'll not fail. All right, the question comes. Who is among you that fears the Lord? Acknowledges the Lord God. Bows before Him. All of you? I speak for one. This one does. I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. Don't you? There's no want to them that fear Him. I fear the Lord. Secondly, who is among you that obeys the voice of his servant? Now, who's the servant? Well, I just told you who the servant was. It's Christ. Obeys the voice of his servant. His elect, his servant. God spake to our fathers, but the prophets have spoken to us by his Son. Who among you walking in darkness and hath no light? You can't furnish any light. I fit that. I don't have any light. No light from within, no light from without. I don't have any light. I'm walking in the darkness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have no sins, we make God a liar. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. I have no light. Then let him what? Trust in the name of the Lord. This Redeemer, trust, rest, commit himself, trust in the name of the Lord. What's this name business? Well, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I have given him a name which is above every name. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. What is this name? His name is his character. His name is who he is. He's known by his name. Who he is. His name is what he did. I am a Savior, he said. I am a Redeemer. His name is why he did it. He's a servant of God, the prophet of God, the priest of God. He's God's priest. His name is where he is. He's God, my Savior, Jehovah. So I call on him in that character. He that fears God, he that obeyeth the voice of the servant, he that walks in darkness wants light, let him call on that name. Trust that name. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide himself. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. Let him trust. What is the word trust? Here it is. Let him stay upon his God. Let him stay upon his God. Let him lie down. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Let him stay on God. Rest. Calm down. Quit moving around. Quit changing directions. Quit looking for something new. Quit looking for something that appeases or appeals or satisfies the flesh. Settle down. Calm down. Come down. Lie down. Rest. Let him stay upon his God. All right? All right. When is a person saved? That's a good question. And when is a person saved? Well, he's saved when it pleases the Lord. He said, I have the power to redeem, deliver. He's saved when he sees who Christ is, the glory of God in the face of Christ. He sees who he is. He tells us who he is. He's saved when he comes under the authority of who he is. Who, he said, among you fears him? When he comes under the authority of Christ, when he fears the Lord, when he obeys the voice of the Lord, when is he saved? When he can trust him. Trust him. trust him. And just sit there. Lie there. Stay there. Don't move. All right. Verse 11. But behold, all ye that you have a fire, you're not cold, you've got a fire. You kindle a fire. You compassed yourself about with sparks. You're not in darkness. They're just sparks, though. They're nothing lasting. They're sparks. You walk in the light of your fire and in the light of your sparks that you kindle. That'd be all right. And one day, it won't be all right. For this shall you have of my hand. You lie down in sorrow. The mighty one of Jacob. All right, let's turn to a closing hymn.